Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska State Troopers are investigating the death of a woman in West Fairbanks. A trooper dispatch says officers and EMS responded to an assault report on Carnegie Street around 3 p.m. Friday. Troopers say the male suspect fled before officers arrived and the female victim died in transport to the hospital. The suspect was located a short time later and taken into custody without incident. The name of the victim is being withheld until next of kin are notified. Troopers said the suspect will be identified if and when charges are filed. Another round of heavy rain is forecast to hit the interior. National Weather Service meteorologist Ryan Metzger says a system is moving across the state from the southwest.
For the interior in Fairbanks, that front's going to reach here late this evening, sometime say around 10 p.m. or so. And we will see rainfall through very early Wednesday morning.
Metzger says the system is packing a lot of moisture.
Especially for like the Fairbanks to Denali Park area. We're looking at storm totals of 1 to 1.5 inches of rainfall with this.
Metzger says that's significant given it will follow other recent heavy rains, which have already raised rivers and saturated soils, especially in the Denali region.
In the Denali Park area, we actually have a flood watch out for rapid rises in small streams and rivers in the park. And with the saturated soil, it's not out of the question that they could have some rock slides and mud slides that may affect the park road and other areas in the park.
Metzger says the system will also bring gusty winds.
In the Fairbanks area, we might see some gusts maybe to 25 miles an hour. But, you know, along the Steese Highway, north of town, Eagle Summit area, could see gusts up to 40 miles an hour up there late tonight into early Wednesday.
A wind advisory goes into effect for the Yukon Flats and surrounding areas tonight. Metzger says the system is the first of two forecasts to move across the interior this week with a short pause in the rain Wednesday. The man accused of murdering Sophie Sergey in a University of Alaska Fairbanks dormitory 26 years ago will be arraigned in Fairbanks Wednesday. KUAC's Robin reports.
Stephen Downs was extradited from Maine, where he was arrested on February 15th of this year by Maine State Police. He was held in Androscoggin County Jail in Auburn, where he lives, then transferred to federal custody before arriving in Alaska last week. Alaska State Troopers Sergeant Charles Indereedon of Judicial Services in Fairbanks is in charge of prisoner transport.
He was transported by the Marshal's Office for Department of Public Safety from Maine to Alaska. His first hearing was for the warrant.
Downs was given a preliminary arraignment in Anchorage. Maria Barr of the Office of Special Prosecutions says this is when Downs came into Alaska custody and bail was set.
The first arraignment was held in Anchorage as the rules of criminal procedure require that a prisoner be arraigned within 24 hours of arriving in our jurisdiction. Anchorage Superior Court Judge Andrew Peterson granted our bail request for $500,000 cash appearance and a $500,000 cash performance bond, along with other standard bail conditions, at the first arraignment.
Downs will get a second arraignment in Fairbanks Superior Court on Wednesday afternoon on a grand jury indictment. Downs is indicted for murder in the first degree and sexual assault in the first degree. He's accused of killing 20-year-old Sophie Sergey on April 26, 1993, in the Bartlett Hall dormitory, where he was an 18-year-old freshman and where she was visiting friends. According to charging documents, Downs was interviewed briefly by police at the time of the murder, but denied any knowledge of what happened. That is also what he told cold case investigators who spoke with him in Maine in February. But DNA collected at the murder scene was matched to Downs in 2018 through a genetic ancestry database his aunt contributed to. Sergey was from the western Alaska village of Pitkus Point. Her mother attended last week's hearing in Anchorage by telephone. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Ninth Circuit Court justices heard arguments Friday in Fairbanks in the appeal of a federal civil rights suit filed against the city of Fairbanks. Four Native men, known as the Fairbanks Four, appealed an October 2018 lower court judge's dismissal of their case, which alleges police misconduct in the investigation of a 1997 murder. George Fries, Kevin Pease, Marvin Roberts, and Eugene Vent allege racial bias-driven police misconduct, including coercion of false confessions and fabrication of evidence, led to them being wrongfully convicted of the beating death of John Hartman. Evidence aired during a 2015 evidentiary hearing pointed to another group of local men being responsible for the killing, and under a settlement agreement, the state vacated the Fairbanks Four convictions. The deal allowed three of the four men who were still in prison to walk free, but stipulated that the original convictions were lawfully obtained and that the four would not sue the state or city for damages. The men sued the city regardless, contending they signed the agreement under duress to avoid further prison time while the case played out in court. Last fall's ruling dismissing their suit maintained that the 2015 agreement did not meet a civil rights suit precedent, that the prior case be, quote, favorably resolved. City of Fairbanks attorney Matt Singer argued for the justices to maintain that legal bar.
The requirement to bring a malicious prosecution claim is to first show that the criminal case resulted in a favorable termination that shows innocence.
Singer says the settlement falls short of that, but Fairbanks 4 attorney Anna Benvenuti Hoffman counters that it effectively wipes the legal slate clean.
There's no question. I mean, if you go to the State of Alaska website and you look up their convictions, they're vacated. They're not in effect anymore. They don't have any collateral consequences.
The three Ninth Circuit Court justices could take up to a year to rule on the appeal, and their decision can be appealed up to the Ninth Circuit's full panel of judges. Firewood harvest can be timed to target lower moisture content. University of Alaska Fairbanks researchers who monitored the water content of spruce, birch, and aspen have found that there's a key point when moisture drops dramatically. UAF forest ecologist Jesse Young Robertson says peak moisture drops precipitously in the fall.
When the air temperature drops below freezing for more than 24 hours, they'll dump about 70% of that water back into the ground.
Young Robertson says the moisture content change happens within a day of the temperature dropping below freezing. Firewood of 20% or less moisture content produces more heat and less fine particulate emissions. And Young Robertson says cutting trees in the winter can help get it there sooner.
That tree will dry itself for you. It'll drop from saturation, which is about 100%, to roughly 30%. Pretty dry. So therefore, what that does is it cuts down on your actual drying time after you stack it at your house.
Young Robertson cautions that even short periods of above freezing temperatures cause tree moisture levels to rebound. She and her colleagues use electronic moisture meters to monitor trees and are expanding the number of sites, including one in Fairbanks.
Going to put a site on the UAF campus, and we're going to stream the data to a website, and those data will be freely available for anyone to look at to monitor the tree water content.
Young Robertson says UAF is also partnering with the Fairbanks North Star Borough to incorporate the information in wood harvest guidelines aimed at meeting a 20% or less moisture content requirement for firewood. I'm Dan Bross.